لأولية الابتداء ولا لأخرية الانقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين، وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاقت الأرض بأهلها، واللحمة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. First of all, I would like to welcome all of you on behalf of Muslim Congress and this 7th annual MC camp for the four states where we are witnessing brothers and sisters from five states this year, alhamdulillah. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide us a tawfiq to benefit from this opportunity to learn from the glorious teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and also have the opportunity to interact with each other and have an Islamic fun activities. The subject of my speech today, we're going to have approximately 40 minutes of speech and then we have 15 minutes of Q&A. So you can ask questions after the speech if you may. Now the subject of the speech is Takfir al-Sayyi'at. Takfir al-Sayyi'at in Islam means that there are certain actions that we can perform which can cover up our sins and erase our sins. Takfir in Arabic is derived from the Arabic word of kufr. Kaffara yukaffiru takfiran. Kufr. We call a kafir to be a kafir because he covers up. He covers up the haq and reality. That's why he's called a kafir. Because the haqiqatul haqa'iq, the reality of all the realities, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is called haqiqatul haqa'iq in our Islamic philosophy. So a kafir is the one who covers up. So in Islam, in our beautiful religion, we have been taught certain things. If we perform these actions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covers up our bad deeds, and actually the bad deeds get erased. And 10 of those points I'm going to mention today very shortly, as short as I could, inshallah. And I would request all the brothers and sisters, especially our youths, to please note down these points. These are going to benefit you forever. First of all is the zikr of Allah. Remembrance. Zikr means remembrance. Anyone who is in the remembrance of Allah all the time, he must understand that this great act, this hasana, this beautiful act that he is performing is sufficient to erase the bad deeds. Obviously, that doesn't mean that we get a license to do the wrongs and harams in our life. Obviously, We need to stop the harams in our life. But from the perspective of takfir, from the perspective of covering up the sins, it certainly has its own impact. Zikr, as commonly misunderstood by some, is not an oral remembrance of Allah alone. Oral remembrance is I can grab a bead, a tasbih, or in Arabic they say a sibha, in my hand and I start saying, repeating, parroting the words Subhanallah, Subhanallah, La ilaha illallah, Alhamdulillah. Well, this our urafa say is the least possible level of remembrance of Allah, in which only and only your tongue is engaged, which some of the regular people of the society consider it to be the only way of remembering Allah, is to just grab a bead in your hand, a tasbih in your hand, and you start repeating some of the nice names of Allah a certain fixed number of times. Well, that's considered to be the least possible zikr. The actual zikr is what Ayatullah al-Uzma Bahjat rahmatullah alayh was talking, is the zikrun amali, the practical remembrance of Allah. That means every part of our body has a share in remembering Allah. So if I don't commit a haram with my eyes, that's how my eyes will also be a zakir in the phase of remembrance of Allah. If I don't perform anything through my hands that Allah made haram in the name of freedom, I don't misuse the freedom given by Allah to commit harams through the hands, that's how my hands will also be zakir in the remembrance of Allah. If I don't walk to places where Allah made forbidden for me to go, isn't it right? Then my feet will also be zakir in the remembrance of Allah. So it's not just about the oral remembrance. We have hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where he has said, "Uzkurullaha kathiran yukaffir sayyi'atikum." Remember Allah a lot, it is going to cover up your sins, your bad actions, in other words. I'm paraphrasing all these narrations in my own words. And second of all is prayers. Prayers is one of the most important Islamic obligations, certainly not the most important as some people think. We have several things in our beautiful religion, Islam, which are more important than the prayers, despite the fact that prayers is the pillar of the religion and nothing is accepted without acceptance of the prayers. But there are several things which are more important than the prayers, but that's not the subject of my speech to go into that tangent. But prayers is one of the most important teachings of Islam, and one of the benefits that we get from prayers is that it erases our sins. Inna salata sutratun wa kaffaratun lizzunub. Imam al-Sadiq al-Islam has said, that prayers is a kaffara and a shield, a protection, a covering from the sins. So prayers is just an example that the Prophet has furnished in his hadith. If somebody, if one of you have a creek, a fountain flowing, you know, and out of your, if you step out of your door, you found there's a fountain there, and you take a, you bath in the fountain 5 times a day, you take a dip into that creek 5 times a day, nothing of your dirt is going to remain. Similarly, if we pray 5 times a day, it erases and cleanses our soul completely from the sins. Obviously, we talk about the sins related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's not mix up. We're not talking about hukukun nas, the rights towards the people. If I, God forbid, usurp somebody's money, that's not going to be forgiven by my fajr prayers. I need to give the money back to the owner, isn't that right? And go and seek forgiveness from the person. Unless he forgives me, Allah is not going to forgive me. So we are talking, when we say our sins are forgiven, we are talking about hukukullah are taken care of, the rights related to Allah. The rights related to the people can only be forgiven unless and until you go and seek forgiveness from that person and win his heart and seek, you know, you make yourself cleared up from that liability. Fourth of all is Tawbah. Tawbah is one of those factors which cleans our soul, cleans our sins. Tawbah in Arabic is derived from the Arabic word of Taba, Yatubu, which means Raja'a, Yarja'u, returning back. When we do the Tawbah, actually, as a matter of fact, we have gone off the track into the hell and we return back to the straight path. Straight path of Islam, Sirat-ul Mustaqim, is the same straight path which will appear on the Day of Judgment in the form of Pure Sirat, the bridge of Sirat, which is crossing either over the hell or through the hell. We have two statements in Tafsir among our scholars who say the bridge of Sirat on the Day of Judgment is going to be either crossing over the hell or through the hell. Whatever statement of whichever Mufassir we accept, but it is going to face the hell. The bridge of Sirat is there, you know, next to the hell. So now everybody is going to cross, and the same bridge is nothing but the way we have been crossing over the straight path, Sirat-ul Mustaqim, back then in the life of dunya. So the same straight path is thinner than the hair, isn't it right? Darker than the night and sharper than the edge of the sword. The same straight path, that's the thin line that we are walking every day, day in and day out. The straight path in this life that we are walking, avoiding various harams and different kinds of human behaviors, avoiding harams in our social interaction with the people, avoiding harams in our financial obligations towards Allah, avoiding harams in terms of our political obligations, which are the most important ones towards the walayat of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. Against the tahuts, which so many do not even consider to be part of the religion, unfortunately, and various other kinds of harams. So we need to avoid, you're walking a thin line, we avoid all the harams. So this bridge of Sirat will appear on the Day of Judgment in front of our eyes in the form of the bridge of Sirat, and the way we walked back then, the same way we are going to walk over the bridge, you know, on the Day of Judgment. In exactly the same speed where you used to walk over the straight path. And we have speeds mentioned in the hadith. Some people walking over the bridge of Sirat, some people will be running, some people will be tumbling down when they will be walking, and thus they will fall down in the hellfire. And some people will be, you know, running very fast, whereas some others will be running like a flash of a lightning. Because that's how they were used to walk, over the straight path leading the rest of the people. So Tawbah means returning back to the straight path. We were burnt back then. As soon as we did the sin, Islam believes and teaches us, as soon as we commit the sin, our soul gets burnt. Not that it will be burnt on the Day of Judgment. Incorrect. Unquranic. If anybody says we will get burnt on the Day of Judgment only, that's unquranic. Because Quran says, Inna jahannama la muhitatum bil kafirin. Certainly, the hell is right now engulfing the kafirs. Right now, if anybody says that the verse of Quran says Jahannam is going to engulf the kuffar tomorrow on the Day of Judgment, that's wrong. Jahannam is right now engulfing all the kuffar, are right now inside the paradise. As soon as we did a sin, we get burnt. We don't see. That's a different story. We don't realize. Because of the curtains of sins that we have over our eyes, blocking our vision to see the realities of the heavens and earth. Malakutus samawati wal ard. Kadhalika nuri Ibrahima. That's how we show Ibrahim. Malakutus samawati wal ard. The hidden reality of heavens and earth. وَلَيَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُوقِنِينَ. So he may be one of those who have yaqeen. So what we are missing, why we are unable to see the realities, is our own lack of yaqeen. Tawbah erases it. Not just that, but Allah's mercy, Tawbah erases our sins if we do it according to its seven conditions. But look at the mercy of Allah, that not only Allah erases after we do the Tawbah by fulfilling the seven conditions, but also Allah makes the angels forget. See, angels are infallible. Infallibles never forget nothing because they are infallible. Isn't that right? If an infallible person can forget, then he can also make a mistake out of forgetfulness. Isn't that right? That's against the whole concept of being masoom and infallible. So if he can make a mistake because he forgot, then he is no longer infallible. Because there is a chance of making a mistake out of nisyan and forgetfulness. So angels never forget. But nothing is more powerful than Allah's strength. Look at the mercy of Allah. Allah is going to make yunsi. The hadith says, yunsi malakaihi ma kataba alayhi min dhulub. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the angels forget what they have written about the saints. So this is the mercy of Allah. Even on the day of judgment, I'm not going to be embarrassed in front of those two angels. And that's not just about the two. If we, God forbid, do more sins, see, every day there are two different angels coming. Allah never, ever, ever repeats the angels. Never. Every single day of your life, there are two different angels coming on you. And for mu'mineen, we have hadith that there are 160 angels assigned, not just two. So there are so many, countless angels. And if I do sins, and I will be embarrassed. I'm talking about thousands of angels. I will be embarrassed in front of thousands of angels on the Day of Judgment. So it's a big issue. I don't want to feel embarrassed in front of one mu'min, isn't that right? If one mu'min discovers one of my sins, you know, there are a lot of people like this. If they discover one sin of another person, they may stop interacting with that person. They may stop befriending him. They may stop even saying salam. Some may even stop saying salam to him. That's the way, you know, some of the sinners are. But this is the mercy of Allah, that He still continues to provide His endless blessings to us. So Allah makes the parts of the body forget. Our parts of the body are also registering our deeds. Allah will make the parts of the body forget. Our eyes will forget our sins. Because on the day of judgment, the eyes will also bear witness about all the harams we did. The mouth is zipped. Surah Yaseen, isn't it right? We read Surah Yaseen. Al-Yawma Nakhtimu. Today we're going to seal. Nakhtimu ala afwahihim. Seal their mouths. وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ. And their hands are going to speak with us. وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ. And their feet shall bear witness. About what? بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Witness about what they used to earn. That means their actions. So our mouth is zipped on the Day of Judgment. Our Creator knows us best. No more excuses. Isn't that right? Mouth is zipped. Parts of the body are speaking and bearing witness. The eye of a person is going to speak. This guy was using me, misusing me, and he looked at this and this haram in the name of freedom and democracy or women's rights or human rights, whatever label the human assigned before committing the haram to fool their zameer and conscience. Nafsul lawwama that Allah has provided. Isn't that right? We tend to justify the sin in front of our conscience before we commit it. Isn't that right? So all those parts of the body are witness, and Allah will make the parts of the body forget. Also the hadith says that Allah will say to the, will send the wahi and revelation to the earth, uktumi alayhi. That means hide. Allah will make the earth also hide the sins if we do the tawbah. Earth itself is a witness which shall bear witness against us or in our favor if we do good or bad behaviors. Tawbah is one of those things that erases. Okay, fourth of all is husnul khulq, good morality. If a person is really having good morals, you know, on the footsteps of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, it is going to erase our sins. Inna al-khulq al-hasan yumitu al-khati'a. The hadith says that the good morality kills the sin. If you earn good morals, you will erase your sins. This is something which is extremely liked by Allah. Fifth of all, ziyaratul akhil mu'min. If you pay a visit to your mu'min brother, so paying a visit, we all keep on meeting with our mu'min brothers. No, that's not a big deal. Doesn't seem to be a big deal, but it is a big deal. If we meet our mu'min brother for the sake of his iman, not for the sake of me getting a benefit out of someone, Isn't that right? There's a fine line between two things. If you meet and respect your Mu'min brother for the sake of the fact that this Mu'min believes in the walayat of 12 Imams, and he is a supporter of the walayat of the 12 Imams, and for the sake of the respect of the walayat of the 12 Imams and his belief in that walayat, I am going to pay a visit to him regardless of his behavior towards me. Regardless of his behavior towards me. He may be good towards me, he may be bad towards me. But he is good towards the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Isn't that right? If I have that kind of thinking, then this kind of behavior and ziyarat and visitation of your fellow mu'min brother is going to erase your sins. Because you are actually not respecting him in the real sense. Actually, you are respecting Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Yeah, the simplest definition of a mu'min in our, for us to understand is a person who believes in the walayat of the 12 Imams and did not support any taghut in his life. If a person starts supporting Yazid, I'm not gonna call him a supporter of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, despite the fact he may be born to Shia parents. Not even a kid is going to buy that argument. If somebody supports Muawiyah, he can never be a supporter of Imam Ali. Support of a taghut simply doesn't combine with support of the Imam. Isn't that right? The simplest definition, with a zero ambiguity definition, with zero vagueness, is that a mu'min is defined to be a person who supports the walayat of 12 Imams but did not have any inclination, even in his heart, towards any taghut. Doesn't justify their policies, doesn't sympathize towards them, doesn't support them. So, sixth of all, serving your family members. Look at the beauty of our religion. If a person serves his family members, didn't the Prophet say in his hadith, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ, the best among you is the one who is the best towards his family. The husband towards his wife and kids, the wife towards her husband and kids, our behavior towards the family, it's so important. Prophet says the best among you, he didn't say the best among you who is the one who prays Salatul Layl, Namaz al-Shab. Obviously Namaz al-Shab, Salatul Layl is a very important Islamic mustahab recommended act. But that does not entitle you to be called the best of all the mu'mins. No way. You will be considered the best if you have the best behavior towards your family members. And Prophet said, وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي, and I am the best among you towards my family. So no one had a better behavior towards his family members than the Holy Prophet. Behavior towards the family, good behavior, is one of those things that the hadith says that مِنْ كَفَّارَاتِ الزُّنُوبِ الْعَظَامِ. It basically it helps to erase the sins. Now coming back to the next point, which is point number 7, that is helping out our fellow mu'min brothers in their time of need. In the religion Islam, if somebody asks you what is the most recommended act, can anybody reply back what is the most important act? Obviously, we learned so much about the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Isn't it right? Our scholars have said one ziyarat, actually not the scholars, it's there in the hadith of Rasulullah. In the hadith of Rasulullah narrated by Ummul Mumineen Aisha, she says the Prophet said to me, that one ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam equals to 90 hajj, 90 hajj. And we are talking about 90 hajj of Rasulullah. Let's remember, we are not talking about the 90 hajj that I did. If I do 90 hajj, I don't know whether any of those are accepted by Allah or not. Isn't that right? But obviously, every hajj of Rasulullah is accepted. So, ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam is considered to be so important that you know, it has such a high reward that it equals to 90 Hajj, 90 Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And then Muhaddis Ummi says, rahmatullah alayh, that there is only one thing that I found in the entire religion which has more sawab, even more than the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. There's only one thing in the religion that I found, and that one thing which has more sawab than the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam is helping out a fellow mu'min brother in the time of his need for the sake of his iman. That has more sawab than the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Can you imagine how much Islam is a social religion, supporting each other, helping out each other, not leaving each other alone, and extending your need? The hadith says that, from Amir Mumin al-Islam, min kaffarat al-zunub al-azam, ighasat al-malhoof. Somebody who is in the, he needs to be rescued. If you rescue somebody who needs your rescue, this is a kafara, this is a penalty for the biggest of the sins that you did in your life. If you want your biggest of your sins to be forgiven, go and rescue a mu'min at the time where he needs it. So this is how we have been taught. وَالتَّنْفِيسُ عَنِ الْمَكْرُوبِ. Somebody who is in pain and hardship, you go and relieve him from his pain and hardship. This is going to forgive and cover up the biggest of your sins that you have done. So that's the seventh. Eighth of all, sadaqah. Sadaqah is one of those sins, one of those acts that erases our sins. Especially, we are talking about the sadaqah which is given in the night. Especially the sadaqah which is given out hiddenly. Not even the person who is at the receiving end knows that you are the one who is giving the sadaqah. That's the way of Ahlul Bayt. Our imams used to carry things, food items over their backs in the middle of the night, deliver it to the doorstep of the person, and the person never knew that it's Imam Sadiq alayhi salam or Imam Sajjad alayhi salam or whatever other imam delivering this food for him. Every day the guy is receiving food and support and help from imam. Isn't that right? But that's how the imams used to do. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam sent something to help out a mu'min poor person in the city. Imam used to live in Medina. Now, and Imam told this person, when you go and give it to that person, don't tell that I am the one who sent it. The person who received the help, and he started to complain from this guy who is bringing the help, that what kind of person Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is. He's not even supporting. You see, I am a Shia, I am his follower. But Imam doesn't care about his follower. He doesn't support me. This is how people were, you know. This is how some people were. You are receiving the same help through this moment which Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has sent for you. But he has asked the person not to mention his name. And the person who is receiving is complaining to this person who brings the help from the Imam, that what kind of Imam he is. He forgets his follower. He doesn't help me. Some people are so, you know, ignorant that they don't realize the azamat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So, sadaqatu sir, hadith says, hidden sadaqah tutfi ghadab al-rab. Hidden sadaqah extinguishes the anger of the Lord. If somebody has high, lot of sins, this is the recipe. The person should start giving sadaqah hiddenly, in a way that no one discovers this from him. This is going to erase his big sins, inshallah. And ninth of all, giving birth to a child. That's the thing which is specific to the women. When they give birth to the child, all of their sins are forgiven. This is one of the great jobs. And obviously, a woman gets all the sawab and reward and her home, all those rewards that the man has to work outside, work hard, and do all those efforts and jihad and services. Isn't it right? And all the hassles that it has, she gets exactly the same thawab, and sometimes even more if she is rightfully taking care of her husband and the kids. And last of all, which is probably, which is certainly the most important of all, is the love and obedience of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. The real love. We are not talking about the lip service love. The real love, Prophet has said in the authentic hadith, that Hubbu Ali ibn Abi Talib yakul as-sayyi'at kama ta'kul an-nar al-hatab. That means the love of Ali ibn Abi Talib eats up the sins the way the fire eats up the firewood. So, and Prophet has also given a blank check to all of us. He said in his hadith that arba'atun ana ash-shafi'u lahum, and I'm going to end after that. Arba'atun ana ash-shafi'u lahum yawm al-qiyamah walau atawni bi dhunubi ahli al-ard. That means four category of people, four people, I'm going to do intercession and shafa'at for them, even though they bring the sins of all the people of earth combined. Now, how many sins are committed on the earth? We can't imagine how much, isn't it right? If somebody brings the sins of all the humanity combined, Prophet is still going to do shafa'at for him, and obviously his shafa'at is always accepted. His intercession is always honored. Isn't it right? So what are those four people for him? He has given a blank check. First of all, Mu'inu Ahli Bayti. Someone who helps my Ahlul Bayt. Anyone who provides help. What am I supposed to do towards Imam Mahdi alayhi salam? Is there something that he's expecting from me? Or I turn towards Ahlul Bayt only when I stand in need, I feel that I stand in need of some help from them. I lost my job, my son is sick, I want to marry my daughter. Then I go to the Mawlana and say, Mawlana, please give me some dua. So I read Ziyarat Ashura, tell me something else. So we turn to the, some people turn to the Ahlul Bayt when they think they are in need of some help. This, I'm sorry to say, is a selfish approach. The actual approach of a mu'min is supposed to be such that we always remember our Imam. Isn't it right? Because his zikr is equal in its value to the remembrance of Allah himself, whom he is representing. Man zakarakum faqad zakara Allah azza wa jal. Whomever remembers you has remembered Allah azza wa jal. Isn't it right? So their remembrance is equal to remembrance of Allah. We need to remember them all the time. So we need to think in those lines that what is the Imam expecting from me so I can do things to relieve him from his pain.
Labbaik ya Mahdi!
Labbaik ya Mahdi!
Labbaik ya Mahdi!
Labbaik ya Mahdi!
So, Mu'inu Ahlul Bayti, someone who supports my Ahlul Bayt, and Wal Qadhi لَهُمْ حَوَائِجَهُمْ عِنْدَمَ اضْطَرُّوا إِلَيْهِ, and the one who fulfills their hajat when they are in need and irtirar. When Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam are in need, and the time of day, in the hour of need, if you move forward and fulfill their hajat, then basically you have a blank check from Rasulullah for all your sins to be. He is going to do the shafa'at. And wal muhibbu lahum, third of all, Prophet said, wal muhibbu lahum bi qalbihi wa lisanihi. Someone who loves the Ahlul Bayt through his, bi qalbihi, through his heart, wa lisanihi, and his tongue. So if we have the real love towards Ahlul Bayt in our heart, in our soul, and we also orally and verbally defend the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So, fourth of all, Prophet said, وَالدَّافِعُ عَنْهُمْ بِيَدِهِ. Someone who defends the Ahlul Bayt through his hand. That means practically doing things to defend the walayat of Ahlul Bayt and Ahlul Faraq. Anyone who practically performs actions to defend the walayat of Ahlul Bayt has a blank check from Rasulullah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to understand and to practice the ma'arif of Quran and Ahlul Bayt and Ahlul Salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wa al-Muslimin. واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. If you have any question about the speech, let's... to get the benefits and the tax break. That's legal in the, obviously in the law of the land, and Islamically it's not a problem. You can do that. But what we were discussing earlier is that the highest level of sadaqah is not this. The highest level of sadaqah is the one which is not known by anyone. Well, that you get from the state. You're not supposed to give it back. Obviously, it's... If you want, you can give it, but you're not obliged. Well, walayat, if you put a fatha on the waw, zabar, fatha, it means hukumat, government. If you put a kasra under the waw, zir, vilaya, that in Arabic means love. So the difference between vilayat and walayat is, one is the foundation of Islam and the other one is the impact of that foundation. Vilayat of Ahlul Bayt means love of Ahlul Bayt is the foundation of the entire religion. The whole religion is founded on the love of Ahlul Bayt. If someone wants to define the religion Islam in a nutshell, in one single word, the best word which can define the religion Islam is love. Love of Allah. Halid-deenu. Hadith says, Halid-deenu illa al-hub. Is religion something other than the love? That's what the hadith says. So, religion is nothing but the love actually. Love of Ahlul Bayt means vilayat is the foundation of the religion. And the aftermath of this, you know, when we believe in their love, we will never side with their enemies. If we really understand the concept of loving Ahlul Bayt, it doesn't add up to support their enemies and taghuts, you know. So if somebody realizes the love of the concept of muwalat and tawalli, you know, in Arabic we say tawalli, in Urdu we say tawalla. So if somebody understands the concept of tawalli in Islam and muwalat and love of Ahlul Bayt, he will never be hesitant in the concept of the real bara'at and tabarri. Again, in Arabic we say tabarri, in Urdu we say tabarra. The real concept of tabarra is automatic. Automatic and it's tied up with the concept of actually, with the love. So, when we distance ourselves and disassociate and disconnect ourselves and condemn the acts of the taghut and the legitimacy of the taghuts, obviously we will support the legitimacy of the walayat, means governance of Ahlul Bayt. So, that's the result of accepting their love. So vilayat and love is the foundation, and walayat and governance of Ahlul Bayt is the result of accepting their love. So anybody who does not accept the love of the government of Ahlul Bayt and sides with their enemies, their taghuts, must think that there's something wrong with his real love towards Ahlul Bayt. If he had the real love, he will never end up siding with their enemies. If somebody really loves Imam Hussein, he can never join the army of Hussein, never send his son in the army of Yazid. Yes, please. Obviously, there has to be a time management. A mu'min has to divide his time into three. First segment of his day and night, 24-hour schedule, is between him and Allah. For the munajat, for the close whisper with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second segment is obviously with him and his family. And the third segment belongs to the community and helping out people in the Islamic Ummah, the social and political responsibility that we have. So this is how we have our times divided. So basically, obviously job is part of the ibadat concept of Islam, and the hadith of the Prophet calls it as a jihad. Al-Qaddu ala iyalihi kal-mujahid fi sabilillah. The one who does his effort for the sake of his family is like the one who is doing jihad in the path of Allah. So that's a worship in Islam if we make money from halal. But obviously everything has to be, you know, under the proper time management. So we don't work for an extended hour period which is going to harm the rest of the segments of our you know, management of the time, how we have divided our times. So there has to be a fairness-based time that we assign for our family members, based on our morality. You know, and it doesn't take a lot of money to do that. All it takes is wisdom and akhlaq. إِنَّكُمْ لَن تَسَعُوا النَّاسَ بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ. You can never take care of all the people with your money. Obviously, we have limited resources. Everything of this temporary world is limited. And everything of that world is unlimited. So we can never take care of all the people with our monies. Everyone has a limited amount of money, even the rich people. وَلَكِنْ سَعُوهُمْ بِأَخْلَاقِكُمْ. But you take care of them with your akhlaq. So if we have good morality, then the time we dedicate for them, we deal with them with good morals, it's going to work. Well, the problem why the kids are unable to see is a very good question, I must say. It's a very good question that you have raised. Kids are sinless. Why don't they see the realities then? Well, the kids, those who have the taharat and cleanliness of the soul, those kids used to see it. And still there are people, not a surprise, there may be so many, at least some who are on that level. But the point why so many others are unable, because of the haram food and the impacts of the haram things that they already have received from their parents. Haram food has a very damaging impact to our spirituality. If a child has consumed the haram food or has been subjected to the impacts of our haram deeds, because everything that the father and the mother do, it has an impact on the son. Starting from the time when there was a relationship taking place between the husband and the wife, from that time, from starting from the thoughts and imaginations, it has impact on the child. So certain bad behaviors are irreversible, because certain things are genetic. And so if there is a family which has taken care of all the Islamic rulings, the children will be able to see the realities. No question about that. Yeah, if you allow me, I can take her question first. Yes, please, go ahead.
The 10 things that you've mentioned that can erase our sin, is there a set of priorities within those things as well? Like a lot of them we can do simultaneously, like love and everything, but say if we have a limited time, if we need to have a moment and there's something else also that we can do at the same time, then which one should take precedence? Is there like a priority in them?
Well, obviously, the most important is towards the Ahlul Bayt, that's the highest priority. And after the helping towards the Ahlul Bayt and their mission and their walayat, the second priority comes towards the mu'mineen. If you find any mu'min who needs your help, obviously, in some of the cases, Islam says you can even break your prayers. You can break your prayers. You find a woman is drowning in the river and you can save his or her life regardless of your gender and regardless of that person's gender. If you can save the life of a woman, Islam says continuing to your prayers is a bigger sin in Islam. And it's not going to, this prayers is not going to make you muqarrab and close to Allah. So you have to break your prayers and you go and save the life of a woman, even though your prayers can become qada. So obviously, helping out the mu'min and rescuing a mu'min is way more important than salat, which is also mentioned as one of those points. So basically, the biggest priorities are the support towards the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam and towards their mu'min brothers and sisters. Okay, yes, please. Not in the initial stages of purification of the soul, tazkiyatun nafs. In the initial stages, no, we don't discover those things. The signs can be visibly noticed by ourselves when we reach the higher stages of purity. So those scholars who are on the high levels of purification of the soul, obviously they know the signs, they see the signs, they can see their signs, they can see the signs of others. But people who are in the initial stages of purification, the signs cannot be noticed by them in the initial stages. This is a privilege that is specific to the ones on the higher levels only. I couldn't get your question, sorry. Can you please repeat? Yes, it's true to say that, because if the heart of a mu'min is seen, the concept of khawf, fear towards the punishments of Allah about our sins, and raja, hope in Allah's forgiveness. These are two values of Islam, khawf and raja, fear and hope. If you weigh these two values of Islam in the heart of any mu'min, it has to be exactly equal at all times. So we should always continue to have equal amount of khawf and fear of Allah an equal amount of hope in Allah's forgiveness. So we never know, are we really forgiven or not? We don't. Unless, again, the very high level of people who can see themselves, those who can see their own souls, can see the souls of others. That's the way it works. If somebody is unable to see his own soul, he can never see any other person's soul. So those who see the souls of others is because they can see their own soul. It starts from your own soul first. And that's how they can predict the future. In the support of the phenomena, because they were defending Imam Hussain alayhi salam. No, Imam is not supposed to sacrifice himself for the people. The people are supposed to sacrifice for the Imam. The whole Ummah should sacrifice and save Imam Hussain. Even if the whole world sacrifices, it's still less. Everything is created for him, to be subservient for him. So we are subordinates of the Imams. We are slaves of the Imam. Imam is not supposed to sacrifice for us. We are supposed to, everyone was supposed to sacrifice and stand in front of Imam Hussain to protect him. Only some went forward. You know, obviously there were people who were staying behind him, but I'm saying the Ashqiya did not support, they were also supposed to support him. Yeah, please go ahead. What is the purpose of the sadaqah?
Sajdagah.
Yes, sajdagah is in Islamic Sharia, we do the sajda over what we call sa'id. It's sa'd. Sa'id in Arabic means what is belonging to the surface of the earth. Anything that belongs to the surface of earth, you are allowed to do sajda on that. Be it a rock or a stone or a soil or sand or a leaf of any plantation which is not used in eating or dressing up. So we do the sajda on things that belong to the surface of the earth, which is called sa'id. Now, since the turbat, the soil of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, is the most superior of all the soils, so it is obviously recommended to do the sajda over the soil of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, which is actually, it belongs to the paradise. And that's the most superior soil. And in the fatwa of Imam Khomeini, Ridwanullah alayh, it's not allowed to put the khaki shifa, the soil of Imam Hussain, in your lower pocket next to the private parts. If it is considered to be an insult, it's haram. You have to put it in the upper pocket. That's not an ordinary soil. That's the only soil in the earth which is allowed to eat. If you go to the grave of the Holy Prophet, you cannot eat the soil of the Prophet. You go to Najaf, it's haram for you to eat the soil of Imam Ali Islam's grave. You go to Mashhad, it's haram for you to eat the soil of the grave of Imam Ridha alayhi salam. The only soil which is allowed in the Sharia to be eaten, and actually the first thing that we feed to our kids when they're born, the thing number one that you give to your kids when they are born has to be the soil of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. We have the hadith from Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam where he says, "Hanniku awladakum bi turbat al-Hussain wa ma al-Furat." You know, tahnik in Arabic means that you take a soil, in other words, you take the soil of Imam Hussain alayhi salam and dip it into the water of the river Furat, Euphrates, and you make your baby take some of the soil. So we feed our newborn babies with the soil of Imam Hussain alayhi salam as the first thing that they would eat in their life. And we give it to the sick people for shifa. You know, ash-shifa'u fi turbatihi. The shifa and cure has been given in the turbat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. So this is something specific to Imam Hussain alayhi salam. So this is the most superior soil, and that's the reason why we choose this soil, obviously, because Allah has commanded, and that's most of the hand. In the hadith, we find that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said, As-sujudu ala turbat al-Husayn yakhriqu al-hujab al-sab'a. That means doing sajda over the soil of Imam Hussein alayhi salam rips apart the seven curtains. So don't we have the seven curtains between us and Allah? All those seven curtains are ripped apart if somebody does the sajda over the turbat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam.